This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
On page 7 of the Herald Sun on Saturday, you would have seen some cute little pictures of a brand new pygmy hippo called Manifa that's been born at Taronga Zoo. Up in New South Wales to talk to us about the pygmy hippo. Joining me on the line right now is one of the keepers who was actually there for the birth, Renee Zammit. Thank you very much for joining me today on All Natural.
No worries, Adam. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, could you tell me a little bit about the pygmy hippo? Is it just a smaller version of the other hippo, or...?
No, they're a completely different type of hippo altogether. They're found in a different habitat. They're found in West Africa, in the rainforest areas of West Africa. And they're actually different in social structure as well. Pygmy hippos are quite solitary compared to the common hippos, which are quite gregarious and live in social groups.
I believe they're also nocturnal as well.
Yeah, well, they're more like crepuscular, so more active towards the evening and early morning, and they rest a lot during the day, but they're not actually asleep the whole time.
And it's very important that they're always near water because they need to keep their skin moisturised, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Their skin can dry out quite easily if it is not kept moist. They also produce like a secretion as well once their skin is moist, and that is said to have like antibacterial properties and help to keep their skin nice and moist and protect from the sun.
Now, are they, I believe they're endangered because of different threats in Africa, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, the pygmy hippo is quite endangered. There's less than 3,000 of them left in the wild. Their main threats in the wild are habitat destruction, so the forests being chopped down. Also poaching and hunting. Their body parts are used for traditional medicines, like sometimes their skulls, their teeth is made of ivory, so they're used for that, and also people eat them as well.
And also war in the area, I guess, in Africa, because it's in some parts of the country it can be a bit unstable, is that right?
Yeah, unfortunately the countries that they inhabit are quite war-stricken, and often people are forced to flee their homes and into the forests, and sometimes, for them to survive themselves, they need to have to prey on the wild animals in the forest. So it is a sad story.
Mm. Another interesting thing that I found out about them is, although you'd kind of relate them to maybe being related to a pig or a hog or something like that, they're actually more closely related to whales and dolphins.
Yeah, recent taxonomic studies have revealed that they are. They have closer molecular similarities to whales and cetaceans rather than pigs. Although they might look like a pig shape,
yeah,
they are more closely related to whales and dolphins.
So how much of the time do they actually spend in water?
If it's really warm weather, most of the day they'll spend just lazing about in the water. So, yeah, most of the time.
Do they just wallow around the edges, or are they actually getting in there and having a good paddle?
Well, our male hippo, Timmy, who is an ex-Melbourne Zoo resident...
Oh, wow.
He's actually well known for swimming upside down, so it's pretty cool to watch. But often they'll just sit and sleep in the water.
Okay. Now, speaking of Timmy, he's now the proud father of a new baby that was born just a little while ago on October the 15th.
Yep, he sure is.
I believe you were there for the birth.
Yes, I was lucky enough when I came into work to actually see the birth, so that was pretty amazing. She was actually born a breech birth, so backwards, so her hind feet came out first, which may have resulted in why she was so weak initially, and that's why we had to step in and hand rear her.
So why could the mother not continue to look after that birth, just because she's weak and it was too risky?
Yeah. Well, initially the calf was really, really weak. She would not have survived if we had left her in there with her mum. Petra, her mum, she's from Adelaide Zoo, she... we're very proud of her. She actually was showing really positive signs that she wanted to rear the calf when it was with her. But unfortunately, she wasn't quite strong enough to go straight back with her mother. And, if a calf is away from their mother for, over a week or so, their milk supply would dry up and maybe they don't show those maternal responses like they would if it was much sooner. So we also had a cold snap here in Sydney, which wouldn't have been a good idea to put her back in with her mum, seeing as she wasn't very good at regulating her body temperature at that point in time. So it was decided that it was definitely much, much better for her to be hand-reared. And pygmy hippos who have been hand-reared have gone on to breed themselves, so we weren't too concerned about her social behaviour being, you know, disturbed yes. by us hand-rearing her.
Now, also, speaking of her mother, you've been able to milk her mother and feed that to Manifa, is that right?
Yeah, we're very lucky to have quite a tangible hippo like Petra. We've conditioned her to allow us to touch her belly. That's how we were able to tell that she was pregnant. We were able to ultrasound her through the bars. Also, we desensitised her to us touching her around her teat area, her udder area, and we were able to collect some vital colostrum, which is really, really important for newborn ungulates because it contains a lot of the bacteria that they need and, you know, antibodies that they need to survive and to stay healthy. So we were able to get a portion of that into Manifa and also some of her mother's milk in those coming days while the milk supply was available.
Now, I'm going to plead total ignorance here. How do you milk a hippo? Is it like milking a cow?
Yeah, pretty much. A little bit more slimy, though, but, yeah, same sort of technique. We distracted her with some food. She's very food-motivated, our Petra, and we gave her some of her favourite treats, and she basically let us milk her without any dramas.
So it sounds like you've got a very interesting couple up there. You've got a male that swims upside down and a very flexible female.
Yeah, yes. They keep us very entertained, our hippos. They're a great pair of hippos. We're very glad to have them.
Now, as you said before, there's only about 3,000 left in the wild, so obviously conservation in the zoos and these kind of breeding programs are very, very important. I believe this one's very important as well because you can't actually exchange with animals over in Europe.
Yeah, well, it's basically anywhere in the world. Because of the foot and mouth outbreak in Europe a couple of years back and mad cow disease, and because Australia is so isolated, we have very strict quarantine regulations, so we are actually unable to import new blood into the region. So, and we don't have very many pygmy hippos left in the region as it is. We've actually only got two breeding pairs, and they haven't bred for quite a while. So it's great that we are actually able to restart that regional breeding program again.
With Africa being one of the most volatile continents in the world, is there any hope of actually releasing pygmy hippos back into the wild one day, do you think?
Oh, it's hard to say. There are so many threats facing animals on the African continent in certain parts. Obviously, we'll always be striving for that goal to one day be able to reintroduce, but till then, we will need to keep that gene supply going because, you know, with only 3,000 left in the wild, a disease could break out or something, and we could lose pygmy hippos for good. So having a good stable population breeding in zoos around the world is helping to support that ever-decreasing wild population.
Yeah, it's very important, and I know you're doing the hard yards to make sure Manifa grows up nice and fine. You've actually moved into the zoo to help care for Manifa 24 hours a day, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. At the moment, we're quite lucky because she's doing so well. Her feeds have been reduced, so I can go home.
Oh, nice.
But for the first 3 weeks, myself and Tracy Roberts, who's the other carer, we basically moved into the vet hospital and slept on the floor there because she required feeds every 3 hours and throughout the night, so it wasn't really worth going home, and we obviously can't take her home with
yes.
us. So yeah, it was quite a hard slog, especially in the beginning stages when she wouldn't accept the teat because it's quite fiddly and she's really hungry and you can't get the milk into her. But thankfully we were able to troll different ways and get the milk into her, and now she's so good. She actually laps out of a bowl she sucks on our finger when it's sitting in a bowl, and she guzzles it in a couple of seconds flat.
Oh, excellent. Well, Renee, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us today, and Can you do us a favour? Can you say hello to Timmy from us, from all of us down here in Melbourne?
No worries. I'll definitely go down and do that today.
Thank you very much, and say hello to Maneva as well.
I will.
Thanks for taking the time to chat to us.
No worries. Thank you.
My pleasure. That's Renee Zammit. She's one of the zookeepers at Taronga Zoo, in New South Wales. If you'd like to find out more about that and everything else that's happening, just go to taronga.org.au. Here on All Natural with Adam Barillet.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.